Rory, tudo bem? This is Michael McDonald, and we have news about Brazil again. Tudo bem, and welcome. This is Michael McDonald, and we're back with more news about Brazil to inform you about the craziest country in South America. I want to thank you so much for joining me today. I'm glad to let you know a little more about the country that is the largest population of Japanese people outside of Japan. Let's go ahead and start today's episode with an article from CNN on June 22nd by Julia Vargas Jones, Duarte Mendonca,
It's Mendonça,
and Mohamed Tawfiq. It's titled, Bolsonaro's Trial on Abuse of Political Power Charges Begins in Brazil. Former Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro's trial on charges of abuse of political power and misuse of public media began in the country's highest electoral court on Thursday in Brasilia. The charges stem from a meeting Bolsonaro held with foreign diplomats in July of 2022, in which he's accused of spreading false information about Brazil's electoral system and bringing its credibility into question, a strategy the former president used in his re-election campaign. If found guilty, Bolsonaro could be ruled ineligible to run for public office for up to 8 years. Seems a bit of a joke. We'll get to my comments later. In Thursday's court session, a report from Judge Benedito Gonçalves,
It's Gonçalves,
on the case was read aloud and both sides presented their arguments. The trial has now been adjourned until next week. Proceedings could be extended by months if any of the judges requests more information. The far-right Bolsonaro has said that the charges are not justified and trivialized the proceedings in an exclusive interview with CNN Brazil on Wednesday, describing them as storm in a glass of water. It was just discussed with them, the ambassadors, how the electoral system worked. I didn't mention the word fraud there regarding future elections, he said, adding, I spoke to the federal police inquiry in November of 2018 that, to date, has not been concluded. Only that, what is the problem with discussing this matter? According to the report from Judge
Gonçalves,
the former president allegedly said the 2022 elections might be compromised due to fraud in his meeting with the ambassadors. Bolsonaro also allegedly said that in 2018, voting machines changed voters' choices to benefit his opponent, that the Brazilian voting machines are not auditable, and also insinuated that the electoral and judicial authorities were protecting terrorists, the report added. Such claims of flaws in the electoral system have all been denied by Brazil's electoral authorities. The live stream of the 2022 meeting, which was once available through official channels, was taken down by YouTube for not complying with its fake news policy. The case began with a lawsuit brought on by Brazil's Democratic Labor Party against both Bolsonaro and Walter Braga Neto, his running mate in the 2022 elections. Bolsonaro lost last year's election by the narrowest of margins in decades against current president Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva. Riots on January the 8th saw pro-Bolsonaro protesters breaking into government buildings in Brasilia following weeks of demonstrations over the election results. The producer's comments. It's true, Bolsonaro said there was fraud. There are many videos with him stating this. There's much evidence in videos showing he instigated his supporters against the legitimacy of the whole system, even the Supreme Court and the democracy itself. And I'm not going to say, I have to agree 100% with your producer on this. As you know, the parallels here, again, run deep. Former President Donald Trump was just federally indicted on 37 charges under the Espionage Act of the United States government, also obstruction of justice for lying and trying to hide material that he had taken from the White House. He also claimed, if you remember, that Dominion voting systems had rigged the voting machines. They couldn't be audited. They changed the Trump vote to Biden vote. Friends and family. Oy! That was my Jewish talk there. But friends and family, I don't know. This world is crazy. As you know, 8 years this guy will get, at least he's going to get, not be able to run for president. Donald Trump can run for president. He's probably going to be the Democratic nominee. I'm going to figure maybe Bolsonaro possibly could appeal, and who knows, he gets the right judge and he could do the same thing as Trump. And Trump can also, if he wins the presidency, quite possibly rule from a jail cell. Think about that, my friends. That's very scary. That's a very scary world to live in. But the trial's underway and we'll see what happens. So, mercy. Thank you for your comments, Leah Drummond. Our second piece for the episode is from Forbes on the 22nd of June as well. It's by Mary Whitfield Rolfords, and the title is, "The New Taylor Swift Law Could Send Scalpers to Jail for 4 Years in Brazil." Lawmakers in Brazil have reacted to reports of violence among Taylor Swift ticket scalpers in Sao Paulo and Rio de Janeiro by proposing a law that would crack down on resellers by upping fines and potential jail time as the frenzy over her Eras tour reaches globally. Here are the facts. Fans of Swift camped for days in the cold and reported threats of violence from scalpers, the Brazilian report wrote, at least 10 of whom were arrested by consumer protection agents for trying to resell tickets originally priced at about 6,000 reais, $1,250, at significantly higher prices. The new law was introduced by Simone Marqueto, a member of Brazilian Chamber of Deputies representing Sao Paulo, and purposes upping the maximum jail sentence for scalping from 1 year to 4 and setting fines up to 100 times the price scalpers were asking for the ticket, NBC reported, meaning potential fines could be in the six figures for many scalpers. Swift earlier this month announced that she would take her popular Eras tour to Brazil for 3 nights in Sao Paulo and 2 in Rio de Janeiro. Chilean President Gabriel Boric then also wrote to Swift and asked her to consider adding Chile to her future tour dates, according to Billboard. And the key background is this. Lawmakers around the world have been called to action by the unprecedented demand for Swift tickets, which were selling for substantially cheaper in Mexico and South America than in the U.S. The American ticket fiasco, which saw the Ticketmaster website crash during a pre-sale drop and the cancellation of general sales, led to a Senate Judiciary Subcommittee hearing in which Live Nation President Joe Bersh blamed industrial scalpers and a cyber attack for the Swift meltdown. Last week, Ticketmaster promised it would display all-in price, including mandatory fees that often appear at checkout for customers. For venues it owns and gives customers the option to view all-in pricing at other venues. Swift announced another leg of her Eras tour on Tuesday with 38 stops in 15 countries. Tickets for the 2024 leg haven't gone on sale yet, but massive price increases on the secondary market aren't possible in many countries Swift is visiting because of ticketing regulations. And it's a big number. $153. It's a ticket price U.S. fans would have killed to have seen. And one that may draw international fans to Argentina as the country faces 100% inflation. Fortune reported, some resale tickets to the Eras tour in America were listed as high as $92,000 on StubHub. I just don't understand. If these artists love their fans so much, how have they given Ticketmaster and StubHub, all of these places, so much power to deliver and make so much money off of them? With just all feet, I just don't understand. Why do they not boycott and just not perform at these events? Like, not perform for 2 seasons and let's see how much money they make, right? Taylor Swift is brilliant. She's genius. She rebought all of her old music from Scooter, Libby. She then re-released them as her own versions. So now nobody gets the royalties but her. She's done so many cool things. She's dropped albums on the internet only and not released them anywhere else, and they've become number one. Artists have a lot more power than they say. I don't buy into their that they're held hostage by Ticketmaster. They may be to a certain extent, but if they rose up and fought it all, yeah, I don't think it would be a very big deal at all. Finally, our last one from June the 24th on Reuters. The reporting is by Alexandre Caverny, writing by Peter Frontini, editing and by Margarita Choi. And this one is titled, "Brazil's Lula calls for common sense negotiations on European Union, Mercosur trade pact. Brazilian President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva on Saturday urged the European Union and the Mercosur to set aside arrogance and negotiate the long-awaited trade agreement between the blocs with common sense. It's important to remember that we need the EU and they need us very much. So it's important that we put a little bit of arrogance aside and we try to use common sense for us to negotiate. And that goes for us and that goes for them, Lula said to journalists in Paris. The leftist Brazilian leader said he discussed with his French counterpart, Emmanuel Macron, the differences in stance of the two sides of the agreement. I think it's normal that France tries to defend its agriculture, Lula added. It may be a more difficult inflection point, but it is normal that they also understand that Brazil cannot give up government purchases, he said, referring to an unwanted procurement clause of the deal allowing European countries to sell to Brazil's public sector. The clause was agreed upon by former Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro to speed up the deal. Lula, however, has held a firm stance on removing it since he took office in January. He stated, however, that no matter how much disagreement there is, it is possible that we will end up with an agreement. This is the law of nature, and this is what we will manage to do. His remarks come a day after he described an addendum included in the deal by the EU, attaching climate change commitments and introducing penalties for nations failing to comply with the climate goals as a threat to Brazil. The agreement was struck in 2019 after lengthy negotiations, but then was put on hold largely due to European concerns over Amazon deforestation. Those are our articles for today. I hope you've enjoyed the episode. I've had a really good time, as always, in my third episode with you. But I would love to hear how you're feeling about the podcast. What direction do you think we should go in? What kind of articles do you want to hear about? What do you want to know about Brazil that you don't know about? Our next episode, we're going to introduce a new segment that will be fun and embarrassing for me at times, I'm sure, but certainly fun for you to read. Stay tuned for Stump the Gringo. Anybody can play. So with that, don't forget to subscribe, review the show on your favorite app. Links to all of the sources are available at the episode description. Please send us a message on Twitter at News About Brazil. A big thanks to our CNN, Reuters, Forbes, Doug Maxwell Media, Chris Hogan, and YouTube Audio Library. Leah Drummond is the producer of this show and an amazing person. Thank you so much for allowing me to host and come into your room. And so until next time when the samba calls me, this has been News About Brazil.